My daughter just asked me, do you remember everybody's names? Probably remember it until I get to them. This is All right, I'd like to start off with Steve and Marie Isles. And Marie is our daughter, and Brother Steve is her husband.
Where are they from, Brother McGowan?
They're from Nashville, Tennessee. All right. Or you could call it Mount Juliet.
Yeah.
All right, Mount Juliet, which is just the other side of Nashville. And then Nathan McGowan, he's the other problem. He's our problem child, really.
Here, stand up, Nathan, so everybody can see you.
Yeah, we call him Randy. If you call him Nathan, he knows that you're not...
Don't call me late for dinner, that's all I'm asking.
Isn't that like his daddy, huh?
A lot.
You need to tell him thank you.
Well, he wants me to tell y'all all thank you for him. Then, of course, you know Sheila. And this is her oldest daughter,
yeah.
Nancy.
Good.
And then Mary.
Mary.
And then here's Johnny. We'll call you Johnny or John, just John. This is John. He works with his dad a lot in construction work. Gerald. It's my understanding they was supposed to go swimming yesterday evening, and he bypassed the pool somewhere. I don't know. I ain't done that, but he got out of it. Did that get all of your family sis? I think it did, didn't it? And then Marie's children. Start here with Joshua.
Stand up, Joshua. Raise your hand.
Come
there,
on,
sir.
Let's give everybody
Joshua. Let's give Joshua a big hand. That big smile.
What,
yeah.
Tell him what you done the first time you ever done it yesterday. No, what? He drove a tractor yesterday, first time. pardon me. All right, this is Benjamin. Stand up, Ben. What'd you do first time you done yesterday?
Drove a tractor.
He drove a tractor.
All right.
First time. I thought they'd done a fantastic job, by the way. And then here's the jewel of the family, Sister Jennifer.
Sister Jennifer, stand up so all these boys can see you.
Are you
married?
You guys
Sister
see
Jennifer,
her?
Are you married?
Yeah.
She's not married, boys.
Brother Durham asked you if you're married. She said, no, she's not married. She's definitely available. All right, and then Randy's children. I'll start here with Courtney. Some of you know her, I think.
Let's give Courtney a big hand.
Yeah, big hand.
Yeah.
She likes a lot of attention. Then yeah. Here's Ashley. She's my little girlfriend.
Yeah, all right.
Kyle. Stand up, son.
Stand up, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to graduate in May from high school. And then in July, I think it is, he's going to California. He's joined the Marines. He's already enlisted.
Well, let's give him a hand for that. We appreciate all anybody right. That serves our country, don't we?
And then here's Nate. Those... The one that I requested prayer for last weekend, I think it was, or weekend four last now, isn't it, son? Is it just last weekend? This is the one that broke his leg. This is the one that helped him break his leg.
No, that's the one that broke his leg. He was just playing.
Oh, okay. Nothing like having brothers to help you out. And this young lady here, did I get Nathan? Yeah. This young lady here is a potential McGowan in the making. That's easy, huh? This is Nikki. She's a young lady that has been dating my grandson for a while. So
let's
Nikki,
give Sister Nikki a hand.
So we're glad, yeah. We're glad to have you. We're thrilled to have every one of our children here and our grandchildren. Appreciate them for honoring us this day.
Give that back to me. And we appreciate you, Brother McGowan, allowing us to. We understand. We'll pray for you on your trip home. Come back and see us again real quick, please. God bless y'all. Let's give them a big hand. I mean, thank God. Don't we want them to come back? We do. We want them to come back. I'll let you do the microphone. I'd like everybody to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. And by the way, happy Easter. This is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank God he resurrected out of the grave. Thank God he didn't lay there. Appreciate everybody that went to the Dallas meeting with us. I think we had 19 people, counting the twins. I think there was 19 of us that went to Dallas. And I know Brother Kennedy appreciated it. There was people from all over the continental United States. It was a good meeting. I got a lot of good things out of it. Wish y'all could have been there. I know this is Easter, and I'm going to tie this message, this teaching actually in to an Easter type message. I think when the Bible deals with husbands and wives submitting to each other, like what it says here in Ephesians chapter 5, let's see, start in verse 18. I don't think men fully understand. We may, but we may need some reinforcing. Fully understand the charge that's been given us with our wives and our families. And in the fifth chapter here, Paul is laying out a good foundation, not only for the ministry, because Paul would write to the ministry of the church. His letters were addressed, of course, to everyone, but the ministry would take it. And they had Bible order, and the ministry would eat that letter spiritually. They would study it. They'd pray over it. They'd digest it, because that was a clean ministry back there. The sign of a clean ministry is it's a clean animal back under the old Levitical law was one that would split the hoof and that would chew the cud. And that's how Paul dealt with the saints of God, was through the ministry back there. There was a clean ministry that would receive Paul's teaching, and they would meditate upon that. They would digest it, and they would let it become a part of them. You know, you can't give anything out that's not a part of you. You can try, but the people will see that he don't have that. That's not part of his life. And then to split the hoof, to rightfully divide the word of God. So Paul wrote these letters. Even though he addresses them to the saints, he knows the saints are going to get it sooner or later. But he puts it in a way for the ministry to get it, to digest it, and then give it out to the people. And these are good instructions for the ministry, but they're also made for us. And it says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, then he goes, there's a break there. Originally, when these were written, there was no parentheses, there was no commas, there was no periods, there was no exclamation points. Man did that. And you had to rightfully divide, and you had to have a mind into the Spirit. what the writer was trying to say. And there's a stop right there. And then Paul goes to a different subject. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then he starts dealing with the term submit and submission with wives and with husbands. He says, wives, and this is one that us husbands like to use a lot. Bless God. Bible said, you got to submit to me. I want you to get in there and make me some bags and aching. Or eggs and bacon. Bible says you got to do it. You got to do it. But look, it says, submitting yourselves one to another. Did you know the Bible teaches that we're to submit? See, a lot of times men try to show this as a ministry, submitting one to another. That's not what this is talking about here. And I want to explain to you what it's talking about. Because it goes on to say, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. Did you know there's a difference between submit and being subject? When you study out the word submit, in the Bible, that means coming under the authority and coming under the rulership or the headship of whatever it is that you're coming under. There's one place where Paul said that we're to submit to ordinances, government ordinances. Let's find that real quick. It's I think it's in, is it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13? Keep your place right there. I just want to talk for a minute about the difference between submit and being subject. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. And I'm not saying this because Sister Julie's been getting speeding tickets. We were kidding her yesterday on the way back from Dallas. It says this here. It says, submit yourself, and that word submit means feigned obedience, which means real strong obedience to that matter. That's what that means. It means you give yourself wholeheartedly. When you submit, in some places in the Old Testament, it uses the term submit where a servant would submit to their master with feigned obedience. You have to do it with all of your heart. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And it goes on, he starts dealing with it. But the Bible even teaches us that we're to submit to the ordinances that man has established as long as it does not interfere with our service to God. Shortly after the Holy Ghost was poured out in the book of Acts, Peter and James were filled with power. And they were healing people, and they were proclaiming the good news, and they were thrown in jail. But the judge, the Pharisee, the Sadducee, the head of the temple there, commanded that they quit preaching about Jesus. And they said, we can't. He said, we have to obey God and not man. There's finally going to come a time, I believe, that there's going to be a commandment come out that quit preaching this gospel. And then we have to be civilly disobedient. We can never put man's law above God's will in our life or his commandment in our life. Never. Like Brother Smith said, even if it means that we've got to go to jail, we can't be silent in this. But Paul did say that as far as lies within you, that we're to obey the laws of the land as long as they don't supersede us serving God. So that term submit there is strong. That's a strong word. If you were a slave in the Old Testament, you had to submit to your master with all feigned obedience, whether you had a whole heart to serve your master or not. You had to at least appear that you were serving them with all your heart. That's what that's talking about. So we always use the term to submit, that the wife is to submit to the husband because he's the head of the house, and I believe that. I'm not going to deal a lot on that because most men, you know, they spend a lot of time on there, but I want to show the other way, that the Bible teaches us that we're to submit to our wives. Did you know the Bible teaches that? There's two areas that we're to submit to our wives in, and that's why I'm going to, everybody has a strange look on their face because you may have never heard that before, but I've researched that a little bit, and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about because it says down here in the 24th verse, therefore, as the church is subject, difference between submit and subject is that if you submit, that means you come under the authority, and you have to be obedient to that authority. Now, to subject yourself, what was the term you used yesterday, Brother Michael? When you subject your, I like that term. It was one you used, what was it? Accountable, and a good way, you become accountable to one another. The Bible teaches us, it says this in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, yea, let the younger be subject unto the elder, which is showing that that's dealing with the ministry. That's dealing with younger men in the ministry who are to be subject unto the older ones. Did you know that there's pillars in the body of Christ, and we're all to be subject, and one of these days I'm going to get into a Bible study, and I want to talk about the two pillars in Solomon's temple. One of them was called Boaz, and the other one was called Jachin, and one of them means God has established. Did you know that God has established pillars in the body of Christ? God has established pillars in this church. You can't establish yourself as a pillar, but God has to establish that pillar. And when God establishes it, it's strong, because the meaning of the other word, pillar means in it is strength. I believe God's established pillars in the body of Christ today, men that we can look to, seasoned men that the Spirit of God is in, and we can have safety and we can have counsel in those men. And we can put our confidence in them, knowing that God has established those men. So the difference between being subject and submitting is being subject is voluntary. When you become subject onto something, you're doing it voluntarily. But to submit means that you've got to do it. You've got to do it. Just like the Bible says, a feigned obedience onto something. So the Bible here, it's teaching us two different things. It uses the term submit. Husband, let's read it again. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Then it starts dealing with wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And I believe that. I believe that today. Husbands. And then he goes on to hear, he's still talking about we're to submit to one another. And this is the area that we're to submit in. There's two areas, and the first one is, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blame. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And then it goes on to show in the 32nd verse, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, are you a member in particular? If you are, the Bible says, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you come in, you get a vision of this, you are now a member in particular. Nevertheless, let every one of you, are you a particular today? Let me ask you, are you a particular? I think everybody here is a member in particular. So love his wife, even as himself, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Paul gave these sayings showing a natural application to a spiritual principle of Christ dealing with the church, and then the church being subject and even submitting to Christ, which is the head of the body. I want to show that here a little bit. Christ said this. He said, "I came to do the will of him that sent me." And in another place, he said this. He said, "I always do those things which please my Father." And so there wasn't anything that Christ did that wasn't ordained of God. All the things that he did, even the counsel of God before the foundation of the world. The Bible says, "The lame slam." Thank you. did you ever get in a loop and you can't get out of it? The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That was the preordained counsel of God, that Christ was to go and was to be the propitiation of sin. He was to be the spotless lamb. And that was God's purpose through the Old Testament, and the bringing in and ushering in of Christ at the end of that Gentile world was to open a door for all people. So Christ, he came to do the will of his Father, and part of that will was to gather 120 people, 12 apostles, and then there was 120 altogether that followed him. How do you know there was 120? Because there was 120 on the day of Pentecost. And I believe he had a following that followed him and got this message. Of course, he said, "Greater works than these shall ye do." And that used to bother me, because I thought, how are you going to do a greater work than healing somebody of leprosy or raising somebody from the dead? But he was talking about, he came to plant that seed in the earth, and it would germinate, and on the day of Pentecost, it would bring forth fruit of 3,000 people. And then shortly thereafter, the next day, bring forth fruit of 5,000 people. And Christ, he came together, that small group together. He said, "But you're going to do greater works than these." And no doubt he was thinking, "Peter, you don't know it, but just in a few short years, you're going to give up, and you're going to have an altar call, and you're going to get 3,000 people down at that altar." And that's a great work. That's a great work that that Peter did there. But he came to do the will of his Father, and that was to be a high priest for you and I. The Bible says in Hebrews that he became a high priest because he suffered in every point as we did, yet without sin. Therefore, God, you know, made him our high priest, and therefore he can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And he loved us. But even when Christ was going, and all those things that he went through, and that the apostles and the 120 went through with him also, he had to be willing to be subject. Let me show it in a natural sense of my wife and I. I believe I'm the head of my house. The Bible teaches that. Not just because, and let me show you what the head of a house is and what it means to submit and to be subject to. Something that just happened to us just recently was going through this move. I felt like God dealt with me. But if you're the head of your house, if you're the father, if you're the husband, God has placed a great responsibility upon your shoulders, just like he did with Jesus. When Jesus shepherded that 120 people back there, he had an awesome responsibility, and he had to be willing to die out to his own will. That's what it says in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, and Hebrews, the 4th chapter. It said, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of his salvation unto all those that obey him." In the 4th chapter it says, "For it became him for whom were all things, and by whom were all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through the things that he suffered." And we as husbands and fathers, we have to suffer our will to be put down. I know a lot of times we'll use this where that husbands love your wives as wives love the church, and we'll give examples. Well, my wife likes to go shopping at the mall, so I got to go shopping with her. That's not really what that's talking about, although I do believe that's part of it. I do believe that if you're going to have a successful marriage, you and your wife need to learn to enjoy to do things together. That's part of becoming one, you know. But Christ, he would get away. There were times he'd get away and he'd pray all night, not just for himself, but he was seeking the will, God's will, for those 120, because he knew he had an awesome responsibility to raise them up to a place, to raise them up to a place that after he left, that the word of God would be so implanted in their heart that they wouldn't forget it. Because he said, when the Holy Ghost comes, he'll bring onto your remembrance everything that I've said unto you. And so Christ was putting things down in their life that when they got the Holy Ghost would bring back to remembrance the things that they saw, the things that they experienced, the things that they felt, the things that they witnessed, and the things that they heard. He was responsible. That was God's will to take those people. And God commanded him that he do that. That was why he came, was to create a new nation. But then he was also subject, just like I was saying, my wife and I, 2.5 years ago, when Brother Smith, God dealt with Brother Smith to make the move down here. He came to me and he talked to me about it, like he did some of y'all. And I remember he talked to my wife and I. He took us out to dinner and he told us all at the same time. And then for a wife to submit to her husband means that the husband has the ultimate responsibility of finding God for the family. I think the husband is to be subject to the feelings of his wife. Did you know my wife has got dreams and she's had feelings from God that I didn't have that helped me because I listened to her? I'm to be subject to her. Did you know that? Do you know if you're going to be a good husband, if you're going to be a good father, you have to be sensitive to those that God has put you over. Just because God says the husband is the head of the house, you have to be willing to die out to your own will. You have to be willing to take the responsibility and the burden of finding out what does God want, not only for me, but what does God want for my wife? What's God's will for my wife? You know, we always, in the body, for years, we've always used this, and it's still right. Christ first, others next, and me last. You've all heard that? They'll say, yeah, but that don't include my wife. It does. It includes everybody outside of you. And Christ was willing to leave that position in heaven that he had and to come down and be reduced to a seed and to walk for 33 and a half years among us as a man and to be tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, and then to be offered up on that cross. Because it was God's will. He knew what God's will was for us, because God so loved the world that he had his son do that. And we as men, if we really love our wives and we submit to them, that means that we find out what God wants for our lives, and then we as men take responsibility for it. When we found out about this move, I felt God in it. I knew that God was in it. So I told Brother Smith, I said, we're moving. I know God's in this. But then things started going wrong. Things just didn't work out the way we thought it would. And like I said, there's been times where my wife, she's had dreams, she's had feelings, and they've been right. And I couldn't see. That's why God puts us together, to encourage one another, to help one another. That's why God made the woman to be a helpmate onto Adam. But I'm subject to the God that's in her life. Just the same way that the ministry of a church is to be subject to the feelings and the needs of the saints and the other ministry in a local church and in on a body wise. I think on a local level, there's a pastor that we're to submit our lives to. The Bible says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. That is talking about God, but it's also talking about this, that Paul wrote and told Timothy, he said, go and ordain elders in every city and set in order the things that are lacking. I do believe that God can raise up men, but I do believe when you read through the book of Acts, the apostles, they, uh, uh, Peter and John, they laid their hands upon Saul and upon Barnabas, and they ordained them for the work and to go into the ministry, to go to the Gentiles. I believe in that order, and I know this church believes in that too. I know God gives you the gift into the ministry when you get the Holy Ghost. But humble yourself, therefore. Learn to work right. Learn to work right in the local church. Find things to do. If you feel like God has a call on your life, find natural things to do. There's always, you can ask Brother Talley or Brother Payne or any of these brethren here, Brother Thompson. There's always 101,000 things that you can do around this church. Find something to do. Become faithful in that. And Jesus said, you've been faithful in few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. Learn to work in order. Learn what emphasis and what's important to your pastor and work in that area. I appreciate Brother Brown's testimony so much. Brother Brown is one of the greatest teachers that we have in the body. He's just a walking Bible, and when he gets up, God anoints him. God uses him. But when Brother Clyde Patton was alive, Brother Clyde Patton taught something one way, and Brother Brown saw it a different way. And by the way, Brother Brown says, I've got it right now. But he was a young man, so he got up knowing how Brother Clyde Patton taught that one particular thing, and he taught it just a little bit different. And the next service, Brother Clyde Patton got up and he said, I don't know if you realize it or not, but iniquity was worked here this morning. And then he got off of it. That's all that he said. And Brother Brown said, it smote me in the heart because I knew that I wasn't working right. I had not learned entirely how to work under the hand of God that was in the church, the order that God had set up in that church. So learn to work. Learn your pastor's doctrine. Work in that area. Find out what's important. But then the leadership of the body, the leadership of the church, has to be subject onto those who have submitted themselves under that authority. Brother Smith, there's been times, you can ask Brother Michael, and I've seen it work too, where Brother Smith had his mind made up to do something, and we've made an appeal onto him. He changed his mind because he's subject to us. He's subject to our feelings. He's subject to the God that's in our life. In fact, if you're a minister, and you can see it in the body, you have to be subject to every other ministry, every other minister. And thank God for that. Thank God there's not just one man who gets up and brings the Spirit of God in. But when someone gets up, we're to be subject to that gift. We're to let that gift work. It's just like Sister Tally. It's been a month or two ago, and I appreciate Sister Tally so much. And she's in there. God used her to talk to me. And I could have turned her off, could have said, oh, the Bible says a woman's to be silent in church. God was moving on her, and she gave a message in tongues, and she interpreted it. And she was talking about, we don't see what God sees. You know, God looks at things different than we do, and we don't see what God sees. She was dealing with us, and she was helping us, and I was subject to that gift that was working in her life. And thank God that she was willing to let God use that gift in her life. Now, if you would have shut that off and not be subject to Sister Tally and to God in her life at that time, you would have missed a great revelation. You would have missed a great blessing that God was giving his people at that time. So when we found out, well, I felt like it was God's will, and I still believe it's God's will for me to be down here. I told my wife, I said, we're gonna move. And then things didn't start going the right way. And then she came to me and she said, well, maybe we're supposed to stay here. I hope she doesn't mind me, you know, saying that. But we had that, and I said, I'm not even going to consider that because I know what God's will is. I've sought God out enough, and I know what God's will is, and I'm not even going to consider that God doesn't want us to move. See, there's times that I have to be subject to her, to her feelings, to the God that's in her life. And the same way with my natural children. When they were growing up, it was my responsibility to train them up in the way that they should go. But then there were times I had to be subject to their feelings because they were all different. I couldn't treat each one different. But it was me ultimately that had the decision to make. And it's the same way with coming down here. I told my wife, I said, I feel like this is God's will and we're going to do it. And it just let the chips fall as they may. I'm going to do God's will. I'm not going to consider anything else. That was my response. And you know, it's not hard. It's not hard for a woman to submit herself to a husband who will seek God with all of his heart like Jesus did. Jesus sought God with all of his heart to find the will for those 12 apostles because he knew that he had that responsibility for them. And even though at times they didn't understand, there'll be times when your family don't understand why you're doing some things that you're doing. But you're the one with the responsibility. You're to be the door. And I don't want to be a stumbling block to my family. But we started really late and we're out of time now. This may be something we'll talk about later. But I do want to say that it won't be hard for a woman to submit her life to her husband, to a husband who is willing to seek the Lord with all of his heart for her best and for her family's best. Isn't that what every woman's longing for? Just to find an open door into heaven like that, to be able to have confidence and trust in her husband, that my husband's doing the will of God, that he knows what God wants for me. And it's not hard. It's not hard for a woman to submit that. Just like it wasn't hard for those 120 to submit themselves to Christ because they saw that Christ... like that song, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. They knew that he loved them with all of his heart, and he was willing to do whatever it took. And we as men are to do that too, whatever it takes. You can't be a good husband unless you can say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to do God's will in my life and my family's life, whether it's fasting, whether it's praying, whether it's whatever it is. And then to take the responsibility to be the priest of your house. I don't think a woman would mind that at all. That's the kind of husband I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be sensitive to my wife. I'm trying to be be subject to her feelings. But then to take the responsibility that of finding God's will. Anyway, we're way out of time. I'm sorry. And I tried to cut this real short. And I hope I didn't cut it so short that I lost y'all. Anyway, all right, happy Easter to you. Let's go upstairs and we'll take a break and then we'll have church.